Good evening and welcome to Meet the Author on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Denny Griffin, and for the next 30 minutes, I'll be your host. And my guest tonight is Abigail Luray. And Abigail became a published author in May of 2008. She has two books out. Her first was Graceful Reflections. And in March of this year, her novel, Birthplace of Evil, made its debut. And she recently submitted children's books with her own illustrations to a children's book publisher. And she is also currently engaged in the summer project, Bringing Books to Life Through Art. Abigail, welcome to Meet the Author.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
You want to tell us a little bit, why don't you start with your first book first, Graceful Reflections, and tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll move on to your most recent release, your debut novel, Birthplace of Evil.
Okay. Graceful Reflections was written basically from things that had happened in my life. I had been married to an abuser, and there was a lot of scars, a lot of pain. But I ended up getting the courage to get away from there. Well, when I started writing the story, I wrote it basically as nonfiction, but then it took a fictional twist to it because I changed the names of the characters and everything else. But through everything of pretty much finding myself while I was writing it and going through the cathartic process, I discovered the greatest thing to learn, and that was to learn to totally and completely forgive. So that's pretty much what that book is about. And from what I understand, it's had a resounding impact within the domestic abuse centers. Some of the counselors are using it as an example of how a woman can survive and keep on going. So that's pretty much it. I'm just glad it's helping other women. And then Birthplace of Evil, that was a book that was just for fun. It put me in a totally different world, completely made up, completely fictional. And I have a friend down in Florida, and she and I, we used to sit in her bait and tackle shop, and we kind of toss ideas back and forth about the book, and that's how that one came about. And then my children's story, that's pretty much a story I'd written for my kids, who are now teenagers, but I wrote it for them when they were little, and it kind of had a good impact on them for a while anyway. So that's pretty much it about what I've been up to.
Well, you've been keeping busy, obviously, writing. If anyone has never written a book, I suspect you'll agree with me that it's not just a matter of sitting down for a couple of hours at the keyboard and pumping something out. There's a lot more to it than that.
Oh, absolutely.
So your first book, Graceful Reflections.
Yes.
Now, you learned, you say, through that, through your own experience, that forgiving was the secret.
Yeah, I do believe so. Somehow through the whole thing, I don't know where, well, I do now, but way at the beginning, I didn't know where all this strength was coming from within inside myself. And it was like, you know, being a fighter and just keep going. And I would never quit. And even there were times when I felt like I wanted to quit, but I didn't. And there was this drive or this force that was driving me. And like I said, during the time that I was writing it, it was totally cathartic to me. And there was a lot of pain, a lot of anger, a lot of hate, because my ex had put me through an awful lot. He even caused me to lose a few of my children, too. So that took... That tore my heart completely out of me. And I don't know. as I just kept writing and through all the tears, through all the emotions, I don't know, it hit me. And the main thing I needed to do was learn to forgive him and forgive everybody else that was involved. And that was the only way I could live with myself. So it just kind of helped me keep my sanity.
And how long did it take you to write that book?
Oh, Lord. Heavens, I don't know. I started it, and the funny thing is, it's only like 51 or 52 pages, but I think I started the book like maybe 7-8 years ago. And it took a lot out of me emotionally. But then I finally got to the point of where I was able to pull it all together. And now, I'm writing another novel right now, another one for fun, but I've been toying with the idea of having a Graceful Reflections revisited. And that would be longer, but I think I'm strong enough now to where I could write even more.
Were there times during this 7 or 8 year period that you thought about quitting? Did it ever enter your mind that maybe it was too painful to do and that you would just pack it in?
Oh, yeah. There were quite a few times that I thought that. And I've had the book pretty much in the different stages on my computer, but I lived in Florida, and in 2004 we got hit with Hurricane Charley. So needless to say, I had lost my computer, I lost everything, any of my backup files, they were gone. But one good thing, I was involved in a writing group online, and I had copies there, so that's how I was able to pull it all back together. But it took a long time, and like I said, there was a lot of pain, a lot of emotion there, but I don't know. It kept seeming like there was a God inside of me saying, hey, you got to do this. You got to get it done. So that's one of my driving forces to keep it going. It was like he would nag me and say, hey, come on now. Let's get busy.
Keeping your feet to the fire, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I was afraid fire and brimstone would start hailing down on me or something if I didn't get busy and get it done.
So you were motivated.
Yes. And I think I was motivated from the higher up.
Now, if anyone would like to call in with a question or comment for Abigail, you can reach us at 646-478-0982. 646-478-0982. And I was finally able to log on to the chat room, so if anybody had been trying to get on and wasn't able to, I was just able to get logged in myself. So hopefully if we'll get some people to drop in the chat.
Hello, everybody.
You know what? We'll move on to your... to the fun book in a minute, but let me.
Okay.
I've been doing some other shows and getting into. Well, we started out doing a lot of crimes against children, and now we're getting into the domestic violence stories. And it's really something. I mean, and you've been through it, obviously. You're a survivor, and
many broken bones. I was a mess. I was a mess.
But let me ask you this. I don't know if, well, having never been in your shoes or the shoes of a victim of abuse like that, I can only speculate on how I think I'd react. But I don't know if I could forgive someone who did that to me. And then hearing you say that was part of your healing,
yeah,
was to forgive not only your abuser but others also who were involved.
Well, would you be surprised if I told you I even had to learn to forgive myself? And actually,
really?
that was harder than learning to forgive my abuser. But yeah, I felt really bad, and I needed to forgive myself for marrying somebody like that to begin with. for allowing him to tear me down to where I had no self-esteem. And there was just a lot of things with that, a lot of emotional things that I had to work through. And I had to forgive myself for feeling that bad. But the biggest thing I had to forgive myself for was, no matter how hard I tried, I did everything that I could possibly do. And I had to learn to forgive myself because I ended up being a failure. And that was the hardest thing. But I don't look at myself as a failure anymore, because I did give everything my all when it came time trying to get my children back and everything. And by the way, I never did get those three of my children back. I've been finding out more and more truths during the years. And I don't know. It was a nightmare. It really was. And then he turned around and kidnapped one of our children. I mean, it was a total mess. But anyway, I did everything I possibly could, everything humanly possible. And I had to learn to forgive myself for failing, but I couldn't do any more. So, but yeah, learning to forgive myself was harder than learning how to forgive my abuser and how to forgive everybody else.
Wow. Well, God bless you that you were able to, to survive the actual domestic violence piece and all that went with it, and then able to put this book together. I mean,
it was hard.
It's got to be tough to have to relive all those moments and all that pain.
It was. It was real hard. But you know what? Now that I know that my book is helping other people, mm-hmm. Reliving all the pain and revisiting all that, it's well worth it. Because I was telling a friend of mine about a week ago or a couple of weeks ago that, I'd say a couple of months ago, I had stopped at this one gas station, which it's kind of like gas, grocery, and even a tire store. And there was a girl that was in the checkout line in front of me, and she had a book in her hands. And my curiosity piqued, but when she got to the counter, she laid the book down. And the title of the book was Understanding Abuse. So when she stepped aside, I asked her, you know, if that book was any good. And she told me, she said, well, she says, I just started reading it, but it's interesting. And we got to talking out in the parking lot, and she took her sunglasses off. And when she did, both of her eyes were black and blue, and she was crying. And I just felt so bad for her. Well, I had some extra copies of my book in the back seat of my car, and she and I, we sat and talked for about an hour. And then I took two of the books, and I put my phone number in one and signed it for her. And then I asked her, because she had told me she was staying at the domestic shelter, and I asked her if she would, you know, just give the extra book to the people there, and whenever she had a chance, you know, for her to read my book. Well, I didn't catch her name. I didn't know anything about her, and I hadn't heard anything for, I'd say a couple of months. And then one day, while I was sitting here working on my new novel, the phone rang, and she told me, she says, I don't think you're going to remember who I am, because you're probably really busy, but she said, do you remember the girl that you gave a couple of books to? And I said, yeah. And she told me, she said, oh, yeah, by the way, my name's Sarah. And she said, I just wanted to call you and thank you. She said, your book has helped me so much. She said, the strength that I felt from that book was totally amazing while I was reading it. And she says, I haven't gone back to my husband. And that right there made me feel really good. And then she told me that she had given the other book to the counselors there at the domestic center, and they were starting to use it as an example of how a woman can survive and get strength and, you know, just keep on going. So that made me feel real good. So, you know, all the pain and the emotions I went through writing it, that's well worth it right there.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it just seems to me that that type of situation, you know, running into this woman and giving her the book and that whole scenario, and then to get the call from her thanking you,
it's great encouragement.
Yeah, it you got to feel, I mean, from that standpoint, from your getting your message out there, that if you never sold a book or anything, just that would be worth what you went through.
Absolutely.
That one
Absolutely.
Phone call and that.
Yeah, it
wow.
made my day.
Okay.
After she called me, I was so happy the rest of that day. I didn't have any problems or anything, even when the kids started fighting with each other.
Now, before we jump on to the to your new novel, let me just ask you, as we run our, on my other program, as we run our domestic violence shows,
uh-huh.
would you be willing to come on again on there and discuss what you went through and so forth?
Sure. Sure.
Okay.
I want to get my message out there. It's not right for what women have to go through. And I know the struggles, but if they can just learn a way to be able to cope, and now I'm not saying total forgiveness is for everybody, but it's a great starting point. It really is.
Okay.
But yeah, I would love to.
Okay, well, I'll certainly put you on my guest list.
All right.
The,
bless your heart.
The show. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now let's move on to some fun stuff before we... and talk about that. Birthplace of Evil.
Oh, yes. Birthplace of Evil.
And this was a fun project.
Yes, it was. In fact, when it came time trying to figure out what genre it was, I got a combination of them in it. There's romance, there's suspense, there's mystery, there's intrigue. I mean... action, adventure. It was a combination of just about everything. But it's got a serial killer scenario in it. And the funny thing about the main character, she was a new author. She only had like two or three books out, I think. And she became the author of the year and got an award, and she was the one who ended up having a lot of things happen to her, let's say. And then, I don't know, if I say any more, I'll be giving it away, but it was a lot
okay.
of fun to write.
Okay, and how long did this one take you to write?
Between shooting the ideas or finally
total,
sitting down
from your head to the bookshelf.
I'd say probably about 7-8 years.
7-8 years? Oh, wow. Man, you persevere.
Well, I try. When you figure, my children were kind of little then, and my son, he's bipolar, so that kind of helped make things really interesting here around home. And trying to sit down and do any writing was almost impossible. I love it when they go to school, though. But now that they're teenagers, they're very active. For the most part, they'll leave me alone, but every now and then my son comes in constantly. Mom, I need a ride here. I need a ride there. I got to go. I got to go. And it's like, come on, give me a break. But, yeah, with having... those two, and they're only 11 months and 8 days apart. They're like twins. So, yeah, they keep the house hopping. And then, of course, I got my husband, and we got a dog, and we got a cat, and I got a garden. So I stay busy. I really do.
Lest I forget, is there any information you care to give out, such as where to learn more about you or your books, where to order a book, any websites or anything?
Yes, yes. In fact, I've got some new information about it. I found out my publisher had sent an email out, and both of my books are now in hardcover, and they're selling the hardcovers for the same price as what they are the soft covers, but you got to go through their website. As far as I know of, none of the bookstores so far have the hardcovers. So they're selling Graceful Reflections for $16.95 and Birthplace of Evil for $29.95. And the publisher's website is www.publishamerica.com. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And then they sent out another email saying that they're going to start doing larger print. Mm-hmm. So that'll be nice.
Absolutely. For people like me, it will be.
I hear that. And my sister-in-law had questioned it, and I told her I didn't know, and then all at once I get an email saying they're going to go ahead and start doing large print, and they're going to charge the same price as what they are for the regular price of the book. So I said, hey, that's cool.
Absolutely is. Absolutely. Now, if we may take a few minutes, I'd like to talk about the business of writing. We mentioned earlier that that people who have never written a book or never written, done any writing really, might think that you get an idea in your head, you skip over the keyboard, spend a few hours over a few days, and your manuscript is done and you're all set. And that's not the way it works, is it?
No, it's not that easy at all. I like to write, and I pen many thoughts. And when it comes to writing a book, I'll sit down, I'll start it out, because I have the main idea of what I want to have. But every book and every story takes on a life of its own, and you just kind of follow it the way it falls in place to you. But it's not so easy just to be able to sit down and keep going at it. And I don't know how many times I tried to set a goal for myself of hitting 2,000 words a day with trying to write out a story. But like I said, with the kids and everything else, there was no way I could do it. And then there were times I would come up with writer's block. And it was like, okay, now how am I going to do this? Or how am I going to make this work? And then there's times I've written the end of the story before I even got to the middle, or even it might be like a couple of sentences for the beginning of the story. So it depends on the person, and I don't know how much they want to stick to it and get it pulled together. So especially for the fun ones. Now, usually when it's along the lines of nonfiction, that's true life events. So, yeah, you usually got everything right there in your memory, and you could start writing and writing and writing. But the fun ones, trying to make everything up as you go along, and then you come up with ideas, and then all at once it's like, okay, well, I don't know if that's going to work or not, so I think I better change that. And then you do it in a different way, in a different approach. And then usually with me, when I try to do it like that, I end up going back to the original way I had it.
No.
But it's a lot of fun. It really is, to me anyway. To somebody who likes to write, it can be a lot of fun. And it puts you into a different world and gets you out of your present world, and you forget about all your troubles and everything else, I guess.
Isn't it a nice feeling? I've written a little fiction also, and it's a nice feeling for me anyway to be able to actually have things come out the way you want them. I mean, if you could only do that in real life.
Absolutely.
The ability to have things come out just exactly, you know, the way they're supposed to or the way you want them to. What a great feeling that is. Now, When you had your manuscript finished, and I'm talking now about Birthplace of Evil, did you already have a publisher in mind, Publish America? Did you go through the query route, or how did you end up at Publish America?
Okay, with Publish America, I had queried them before I presented them with Graceful Reflections, and they had sent me back an email saying for me to go ahead and submit my manuscript, and if they decided that they would like to have the manuscript, then they would let me know. And within a couple of weeks, I had received an email saying that they accepted it. And from there, the publishing process went really fast. I think my book was out on the market like maybe within a month and a half after
Wow.
they accepted it. Yeah. And when it came to editing, they had sent me an email and they just pointed out a few sentences that I needed to make corrections with, like the quotation marks, you know, and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
and for me to do those, and then I sent it back to them, and then they sent me an electronic copy, and after that, everything went right ahead to the press department, and the book came out, and Graceful, or Birthplace to Evil, I had decided to go ahead and go through them again. So I queried them, and they said, yes, we'll accept it, and they did, and it took maybe a month and a half for that one to come out also.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite a feeling when the book actually is out in print, though, isn't it? I mean, it's quite a...
Oh, it's fantastic. It's
yeah.
fantastic. And then I have people come up to me and say, wow, you're a published author. And I look at them and I say, well, I may be a published author, but how's the published author supposed to feel? I'm just me.
Now, the time is slipping by very quickly here. What I'd like to do is spend a couple of minutes on marketing. Now,
okay.
the your first book, The Graceful Reflections, was not really done for commercial profit. I assume you were doing it to help people. Probably is your primary goal there to tell that story.
That was.
And you have, you know, like these, like you were saying, that the book is being used by counselors and being read by women in shelters and so forth, which is
yes.
obviously where you want it to be. But for your fiction, for the Birthplace of Evil, again, people who have never written a book probably don't realize that after you spend the time, in some cases months or possibly even years, doing your putting your book together, and you find a publisher and so forth, and the book actually is now in print, that's not the end of it for the author. In fact, in some cases,
no.
I look at it as just the beginning, step one.
That
and,
is true.
If nobody, no matter how good your book is, no matter how entertaining, if nobody knows about it, it really isn't worth a whole lot because nobody reads it. So
that's true.
And most houses today, including the major New York City houses, don't spend a whole lot of money on promotion except for certain authors. But they expect, small presses, big presses, they expect the author to do an awful lot of the marketing. Do you agree with me?
Yes, yes, I do. But that's where I feel kind of blessed. Published America, they want us to do whatever we can with the marketing, and they encourage us to start in our hometown. But they have a lot of connections, and they have my book, like in Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, Borders, across seas, different countries. They've
mm-hmm.
got my book just about everywhere, I'd have to say. And my publisher did get a hold of me a couple of weeks ago and said they were trying to set up some book signings for me in the city that's not too far from us. So I'm just waiting to hear back from that. But our newspaper has done a write-up. My mother was so excited about Graceful Reflections. She even had an article written where she lives, and she lives in the UP of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
That article ended up going all over the state of Michigan and even into Indiana.
Oh, beautiful.
So, Yeah, it does have
Abigail, I hate to say this, but we're down to about 5 seconds.
Oh, dear.
I want to thank you very much for coming on with me tonight.
You're
and
very
telling
welcome.
Us and talking with us. And I will take you up on that offer to have you on one of the other shows when we discuss domestic violence.
I'd be happy to.
Okay, and
much.
Also, when your new book, you said you have some things in the oven, please let me know. We'll have you back on Meet the Author again.
All right, sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks, Abigail, and the best of
You're
luck
welcome.
To you.
You
Bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye.
Okay, Abigail Luray, 2 books, Graceful Reflections about Domestic Violence, and her fun new novel, Birthplace of Evil. Thank you very much for listening, and have a great night.